From Greenville, South Carolina, we present... Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted to welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In just a few minutes, we'll hear from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues his series in the book of Joshua. Chapter 7 recounts Israel's defeat at the city of Ai, a disaster brought about by the sin of one man, Achan, who had taken that which was forbidden by the Lord. He and his family paid the ultimate penalty, but not before a number of Israelites had been slain in battle. In a message entitled, A Warning Against the Sin of Presumption, Dr. Cairns is showing how Joshua and the army of Israel fell victim to an all-too-prevalent sin. Forgetting that it was the Lord who had given the victory over Jericho, Joshua and his warriors presumed that they could make short work of Ai without bothering to seek God's guidance and help. Their sin was the sin of pride, which is the root of presumption. Today we'll see that presumption is characterized by prayerlessness. The lesson which God's people need to take to heart is that one cannot do God's work without constant prayer. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from Morning by Morning, taken from the writings of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in Zechariah chapter 6 and verse 13. He shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory. Christ himself is the builder of his spiritual temple, and he has built it on the mountains of his unchangeable affection, his omnipotent grace, and his infallible truthfulness. But as it was in Solomon's temple, so in this, the materials need making ready. There are the cedars of Lebanon, but they are not framed for the building. They are not cut down and shaped and made into those planks of cedar whose odoriferous beauty shall make glad the courts of the Lord's house in paradise. There are also the rough stones still in the quarry. They must be hewn thence and squared. All this is Christ's own work. Each individual believer is being prepared and polished and made ready for his place in the temple. But Christ's own hand performs the preparation work. Afflictions cannot sanctify, excepting as they are used by him to this end. Our prayers and efforts cannot make us ready for heaven, apart from the hand of Jesus, who fashioneth our hearts aright. As in the building of Solomon's temple, there was neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron heard in the house, because all was brought perfectly ready for the exact spot it was to occupy. So is it with the temple which Jesus builds. The making ready is all done on earth. When we reach heaven, there will be no sanctifying us there, no squaring us with affliction, no planing us with suffering. No, we must be made meet here. All that Christ will do beforehand, and when he has done it, we shall be ferried by a loving hand across the stream of death, and brought to the heavenly Jerusalem, to abide as eternal pillars in the temple of our Lord. Beneath his eye and care the edifice shall rise, majestic, strong, and fair, and shine above the skies.
Thank you.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content and the format. So if you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then take our thanks for taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we would be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular postal mail. You may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. As you can see, it's easy to contact us. Also, if you enjoy the program, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and that you'll join us on our website this week.
I want us to focus on this lesson as I raise to you what God has raised to me. That is a warning against the sin of presumption. Let me note first of all that presumption is rooted in pride. We read in verse 3 that they returned to Joshua and said unto him, "Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few." There's the voice of pride. Their thinking is very clear. If we defeated Jericho with such ease, surely we're not going to have any difficulty with this little city of Ai. Now, of course, intellectually they knew that it was the Lord who had given them that victory at Jericho, and they presumed, of course, that he would do the same again, even though they had not bothered to seek his face about it and get his guidance about it and find out about the sin that had come into their midst. They simply presumed on the presence, favor, and power of God. You know, of all pride, I don't think there's any pride worse than pride of grace. You might ask, what is pride of grace? Well, in the context that we have been reading, pride of grace is to presume upon God's grace, to graduate from a humble dependence on Him to a proud reliance on self with an arrogant certainty that we will prevail even though we have paid scant attention to personal holiness. That was the proud sin of the men of Israel. And we have many other examples of it in Scripture. I suppose the most famous example would be that of Samson, who had known such mighty interventions of God in his life and through his strong right arm. He had seen God do great and glorious things. And so he got used to the blessing of God. He got used to the movings of God. And when he went forward against the Philistines, he presumed he would have the power. He presumed he would have the blessing, forgetting that he'd been lying in the lap of Delilah and they had lost out with God. What presumption. We see the same sin at various times in the history of the children of Israel. I can't think of a more outrageous example than that period in the history of the people of Israel, especially the southern kingdom of Judah, immediately after the fall of Jerusalem. Now, try and get the picture. 100 years before, Isaiah had prophesied the doom that would come upon an unrepentant nation. Then came Jeremiah. And for a long period of time, Jeremiah kept prophesying. They tried to shut him up. They threw him in jail. They threatened his life. They called him a traitor and a liar. But the prophet went on and on. The king cut up the message that he wrote out by the hand of Barak from God. But God gave it with even more added to it. They couldn't get away from this truth. If you go on in sin, you're going into captivity. There came the time when Jeremiah had to change the message and tell them, there's no if about it. No matter what happens now, you are going into captivity. There is no turning back. And of course, there came the time when it all was fulfilled. The Babylonian armies overthrew the kingdom of Judah. Of course, the king of Babylon left a smattering of people behind. He left some people in the land. And Ezekiel, one of the captives, a prophet of God to the captivity, Ezekiel had to speak about the attitude of the people who were in the land of Israel, that desolated land. And in chapter 33, 24 and 25, this is the message. Son of man, they that inhabit those wastes of the land of Israel speak. And what are they saying? We have sinned and we have come under the awful judgment of God and we need to get right with God. No, sir. That was not what they were saying. We have turned aside to idolatry and folly, but now we must get right with God, the God of our fathers. No, that's not what they were saying. They were saying, Abraham was one, and he inherited the land, but we are many. And the land is given us for an inheritance. Now, I want you to get what they're saying. They are saying, we are the children of Abraham. God gave us this land. You can dispense with everything that Isaiah said. You can forget about everything that Jeremiah said. You can seek to shut the mouth of Ezekiel. We are in this land as the people of God with the blessing of God. That was what they were saying. God said, wherefore say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, ye eat with the blood and lift up your eyes toward your idols and shed blood, and shall ye possess the land? Driven out as a nation with just what Isaiah called the gleaning of grapes, just a few here and there, left in the land, they were still boasting that they would possess it. What utter pride. Presumption is rooted in pride. And that pride of grace is always a danger to God's people. It was the curse of the church at Laodicea. They said, we're rich and increased with goods and of need of nothing, knowing not that they were really wretched and miserable, poor and blind and naked. We are rich. We are increased with goods. We have the money to operate as a church. We have the numbers to operate as a church. We have the personnel on staff to operate as a church. We have the influence to operate as a church. We have everything it takes. We have talent, we have people, we have all that the world can give us. We are rich, we are increased. We are a thriving church. And I would have to say to you that by the standards of 20th century America, the church in Laodicea would be counted one of the great success stories. This could well be one of your mega churches of the day. But God says, you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Anytime we get away from the feet of Christ, anytime we cease to feel our own weakness and need, anytime we try to do God's work on merely earthly principles and merely in carnal ways, we are in danger of sinning the sin of presumption. That's why David prayed in the 19th Psalm, verse 13, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Presumption is rooted in pride. But secondly, presumption is revealed by prayerlessness and by carelessness. The Bible reading of today leads us to a startling conclusion. As I pointed out, the children of Israel, even Joshua, and I must say that shocks me, for to me Joshua is one of the giants of Scripture. That makes the warning even more startling. But even Joshua did not pray about the battle of Ai until after Israel's initial failure. He didn't think that there was any threat. There was no need to pray. It was all easy. So he went up without prayer. And that is a sure sign of presumption. It's a sin that the children of Israel found difficult to deal with. They were very prone to this. They made the same mistake sometime later when the Gibeonites came up to them with a far-fetched story, seeking to enter into a league with them so that they wouldn't have to fight Israel and be defeated. And instead of praying about it, and instead of seeking the Lord and finding out what the truth of this matter was, we read Joshua 9:14, the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. Prayerlessness is the expression of presumption. You see, faith always expresses itself by waiting on the Lord. I contrast David at a very vital time in his life and service with that of Israel here. If you read in 2 Samuel 5, verses 18 and 19, and then later in 22 to 25, you'll find there was a time when the Philistines came up against David and they spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand?" The Lord said, "Go up." And he got a victory. But they came up again. Now, the most natural thing in the world, if David were to do or to have done what Joshua and his people did, he would immediately have gone out against them. That's the logic we would have to follow. The enemy's back in the land, so we must go out against them. But David had learned the lesson of waiting on God. And so when the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim, David did not argue, "Well, they're right where I had them before. These are the tactics that succeeded before. This is the way we got the victory. They were easy prey the first time, and they'll be easy prey this time." That's not how he thought. No, no. David inquired of the Lord. And this time the Lord said, "Thou shalt not go up." And what a defeat David would have had if he had gone up. "Thou shalt not go up." He saved himself a lot of trouble. He saved the lives of many of his men as he waited on God. And the Lord told him the best way this time is not to go up against them, but he told them to fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees and then wait. When you hear the sound of the going among the mulberry trees, then go against them. Had Joshua done that? Had he waited on God? Had he gone up to the Lord before Ai to say, "Lord, how do we do this? Will you be among us? Will you deliver them into our hand?" Achan's sin would have been discovered before one Israelite-ish life had been lost. And the awful debacle at Ai would have been avoided. You see, we cannot do the work of God without constant prayer.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info at faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.